Daniel chapter 9 verses 1 through 19. Daniel received the revelation recorded in Daniel 9 verse 2. In the same way, God's will is usually shown to us today by the scripture. Note a portion of what is said in Jeremiah chapter 25 verses 11 and 12. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. What Daniel learned and understood by books was no less startling and much more immediate than many things revealed to him in a more dramatic fashion. The 70 years were about to expire. Israel was about to be restored to the land of the covenant. How wonderful for us to see the life of such a man as this, aged, filled with good works, steadfast in the Lord, wonderfully used by the Lord for special revelations, and yet still searching the scriptures and learning by them. It is interesting, however, that Israel as a whole was apparently ignorant of this prophecy. Daniel, in all his many years, had never heard anyone speak of it. Nor was the prophecy hard to interpret. People just did not know it was there. It is always so. Some of the Lord's highest truths and sweetest promises never become common knowledge. In every age, most of God's people learn the fullness of His purpose only when He brings it to pass. Much is lost by not knowing His written word. Much is gained by those who make the search for truth a lifelong pursuit through His word. How did Daniel react after learning of this wonderful old prophecy? Remember, it was not new, just forgotten or ignored by the majority of Israel. It must have been a joy to know of the soon coming events, but we read no expression of joy. He did not go forth shouting the good news to all who would listen. He went only to the Lord, seeking Him in private prayer, showing every sign of deep sorrow. What a strange thing this must seem to those who have never been fully mastered by the grace of God, who have never been overwhelmed with the knowledge of His holiness. How readily his grief is understood by those who realize that God's grace toward men is inseparably joined to his holiness. Daniel's prayer began with the confession, "We have sinned," Daniel 9 verse 5. Many years before, when Solomon was dedicating the temple at Jerusalem, he prayed an anointed prayer. In that prayer, he dealt with the captivity into which Israel would eventually go, and the terms under which God would move their captors to show compassion, 1 Kings 8, verses 46 through 50. Take the time to read that passage and notice especially the words of the prayer which God would heed. We have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. The Spirit of God moved Daniel to pray just this prayer. We have sinned. True, he was interceding for others, for a whole nation, but an intercessor must identify completely with the needy ones. So did Christ take the sins of mankind on himself. So do godly men and women bear one another's burdens in intercessory prayer. From our viewpoint, Daniel's prayer is not only intercession, it is also an explanation of God's dealings with Israel, both in allowing the terrible judgment of the captivity to come upon them, and in restoring the nation to their own land. The parallel to Israel's present and future conditions is obvious. Israel has long endured persecution and suffering at the hands of ungodly Gentiles, much of it perpetrated falsely in the name of Christianity. The hardships will not lessen until the end of the age. They will come to a crescendo in the awful attack of Antichrist, when the Jews reject his claim that he is God. After that terrible period, the kingdom will be restored to Israel. Compare Acts chapter 1, verse 6. The principles expressed in this prayer show the pattern for God's dealings with Israel. The first such principle is the statement, "O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, because we have sinned against thee." Daniel 9, verse 8. Righteousness belongs to God. Daniel 9 verse 7. When his hand rests heavily in judgment upon a people, there is a righteous reason for the judgment, sin against him. God had warned Israel of the consequences of departing from the covenant which he made with them. Deuteronomy 28 spoke clearly of God's promise to bless the nation as long as the people hearkened to his word. It also spoke of a curse they would bring upon themselves if they did not heed his voice. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy father have known. Deuteronomy 28:36. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. Deuteronomy 28:41. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. Deuteronomy 28:64. If you are not familiar with Deuteronomy 28, it would be worthwhile to read it. Compare these things with the words of Daniel in Daniel 9:11. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses. Not every trouble which comes upon mankind is a judgment of God. Job is a good example of suffering for righteousness' sake, and such suffering is to be seen in the life of every devoted believer. However, Israel had departed from the precepts and judgments of God and refused to hear the admonitions of his servants, the prophets. Daniel did not explain or excuse the sins of Israel. He confessed those sins and repented of them before God. So must all sin be dealt with. Now, although the children of Israel were restored to the land under Cyrus, they again turned from God. As Moses foretold, they are now scattered among all people from one end of the earth to the other. Why then did God restore them to Palestine under Cyrus? Why will God restore them to their land in the future? The present-day existence of the state of Israel in no way fulfills the Scripture's promise of a total, glorious regathering. See Isaiah 2 verses 2 and 3 and Isaiah 11 verse 12. Daniel did not speak of Israel's great goodness when he prayed. He could not, because as a people they still had deep spiritual lacks. When he considered the sins of his people, Daniel said, "To us belongeth confusion of face." Daniel 9:8. Nor will any special merit in the nation qualify them for the future blessings. God will begin to pour out on them. In fact, before they rejoice at their blessing and deliverance, Israel will first grieve for their national sins and their rebellion against God. Their reaction when Christ appears will be much like that of Daniel in this 9th chapter. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem. Zechariah 12 verses 10 and 11. Daniel cried, "To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him." Daniel 9 verse 9. We do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. Daniel 9:18. There was but one reason the Lord opened the door of return to Israel in Daniel's day. There will be but one reason he will regather Israel for blessing in the millennium. His mercy endureth forever. That sweet statement is repeated 26 times in Psalm 136 and is the single cause for his blessing upon the people who have rebelled against him. This is the second key principle in Daniel's prayer. Nor is Israel alone in having hope only in his mercy and not in their righteousness. All the world is alike in that regard. Another truth revealed here is that the righteousness of God enters into his mercy even as it does into his judgment. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Daniel 9, verse 16a. While it is clear to most people that there comes a time when sin must be judged by a righteous God, it is not clear to many that there are also times when it would be unrighteous for God not to show mercy, despite the fact that his people do not deserve it. Put simply, we may say that if God has promised mercy, it would not be righteous for him to withhold that mercy. Not that he is forced to show mercy. His word to Moses was, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Exodus 33:19. Once he has chosen to show mercy, however, and once he has given his word on the matter, his own righteousness demands that his word be fulfilled. How Satan would delight to prove God a liar on any point. Because of this, we come to realize how completely God has linked our destiny to his own righteousness, how completely the things which benefit us are entwined with the things which honor him. Daniel prayed that the Lord would hear his prayer for the Lord's sake. Daniel 9:17. He asked him to forgive and defer not for thine own sake. Daniel 9:19. Moses prayed similarly. Deuteronomy 9:26-29. Moses and Daniel knew, as do all who intercede effectually for God's people, that even if love did not enter into it at all, and thank God that it does, he would fulfill his promise to his erring people for the sake of his own name and righteousness. Paul said, For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, to the glory of God by us. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Daniel took God's positive promises as being sure and unshakable, despite human unfaithfulness. His grief was doubtless because of the unfaithfulness of Israel, those ongoing sins which made them unworthy. But he believed God's word anyway. May we exercise faith and do likewise.